Let's be seated and let's turn in the scriptures to Job and chapter 42. Job chapter 42, this is the last chapter of Job. Job chapter 42, we'll be reading verses 1 through 17. Yes, Job chapter 42. And we'll begin in verse 1. And God's people, these are God's words. And so we ought to give our full attention to Him. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Those are God's words. Well, consider all that we have heard in Job from the beginning. If we were to summarize it, just in a few words, right? It was very negative throughout the book, all the while exalting in the power and strength and sovereignty of the Lord. There are 3 things. That should have troubled us throughout this book. Seeing a holy man like Job, fretful, easily irritated, uneasy, speaking of the Lord without humility, and yet after losing all of his children and much of his property, we find here he is not utterly cast down, but he recovers with repentance and humility through verse 6. Job repents. It's a good picture of the Christian. And holy in the sight of the Lord, righteous in God's sight, and yet how weak we saw him be. And yet the Christian always repents, always turns back to the Lord, and he does that here. And then throughout the book, we should have been troubled, secondly, by Job and his friends in their interaction with one another and the disunity they had, which were instructed about in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians 4, 2 and 2 to 4. And there's such this, even Romans, at the end of Romans, there's this unity between them. And the Lord condemns the friends and shows them they're wrong, and calls them to offer sacrifices, or to bring their sacrifices, to turn from their sin by looking forward to the one who would be sacrificed to truly atone for their sins and be accepted by God. And that's through verse 9. And we sort of see here that Job himself almost communicated, it's almost communicated that he's sort of a mediator here. That the friends are supposed to bring their sacrifices to Job because Job is going to be accepted before the Lord. And so Job gives us a picture of Christ as our mediator here as Job is received. And we could look at a few other things there as well. But then finally, that's what should have troubled us, thirdly, throughout this book, to see a man of such piety and then greatly afflicted and pained and sick or poor, reproached, and made the center of all the calamities of human life. If we could just pile all of them on, that's what the Lord kind of did to Job, right? And it says here that this evil was sent by the Lord because he's sovereign over all, and yet the Lord hadn't done any evil himself. He had sent the evil upon Job for our example. Praise the Lord for that, to teach us, even of all the calamities that one might receive during life. We see here at the end what the Lord does for His people who are afflicted. He heals them. And He heals Job, bringing him greater honor, greater love than before, increasing his property, his prosperity, providing him the same number of children as before. All of his family, all of his acquaintances come, and they are, the Lord uses them to comfort Job. And yet, throughout the whole book, he never had that, except in the Lord, if he would have turned it to him. But the Lord provides it here at the end, and he will always provide it, at least at the end. And so this is our hope, beloved, not only in this life, but in that life to come, when we will have no more pains or tears or afflictions, but will all be granted a multitude of blessings forevermore. And that's really the end of Job and what he teaches us. The Lord teaches us that He, for God's people, He makes all things right. And for God's people, He works all things together for our good. Even the evils that are sent, the dark providences that are sent, He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes, as it says in Romans 8:28. Now let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank You for this chapter. After having gone through the whole book of Job and seeing very little hope in Job and in his friends, we're thankful that at the end you teach us the full picture, that in life it can be such filled with great afflictions and troubles, even for Your people. So as Your people on earth now, we should not expect blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings and never hardships. We have the blessing, surely, in Christ, and many blessings, even being here today with God's people and being able to hear You and pray to You, and You hear our prayers in Christ. many blessings we receive, and yet, Father, we also know that dark providence is common. Our afflictions and sufferings and tears and pains come. Even the loss of life, our family, our children, our parents and loved ones die because of the fall of man and sin. Father, we're thankful that you teach us these things, that we are not immune to these things, and yet we know from your great promise here and throughout the scriptures that you grant us hope in them because you make all things right. That Christ is the great healer of not only our bodies but our souls, and will heal us and give us new bodies and unite our souls again to our bodies and at the great resurrection. And Father, we look forward to that day, even the day of our last breath on earth, when our souls will be immediately united to Christ, or be immediately in your presence, always united to Christ, even now, but immediately pass into glory and be made perfectly holy. And there will be no more pains or tears or sorrows, but only joy and communion in Christ your Son, who is our Savior and our King, and even now our Mediator and our High Priest after the order of Melchizedek. We're thankful for Him. We're thankful for our Savior. We're thankful for the Gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, that we have Christ. And for those here who don't have Christ, then there is no hope, but they have for them. They have the book of Job without chapter 42. All the affliction and the pains and the struggles with no hope. They still have the God of almighty power and sovereign will and decrees. But they don't have the grace and mercy of God and the healing of God. They have no Savior in Christ. Father, we pray for them, and you would give them the Savior we find in our Mediator, that we find in this chapter. And you would send, therefore, your Holy Spirit and call them out of darkness and into a marvelous light, the light of your glory that shines in the face of Christ your Son. And Father, we pray the same, even for our covenant children, any who might be in the womb, and our future children who are not yet conceived of this congregation. We pray for their souls, and at the right time when you call them, bring them to yourself, and effectually call them. Pray for each one that you would do so if it would be your will. For we care for their souls. We care for them. And we know their need because of their sin. We pray that today, even not only the preaching of your word, but the sacrament of the word and the Lord's Supper would be convicting to them, that they would see their need to sit at the King's table to have life. And that apart from being at His table, there is no love, but only curses. And so pray that you would work in their hearts to desire to be at the table, at the true King's table in glory, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, of which we have as a picture here, and such frailty and finiteness as the table before us. Father, we do pray for this church. We pray for our congregation, that you would provide for us and keep us from error, keep us from the devil having a foothold, of which it seems like there is many who have been taken by him a little bit, tempted by him into sin, of which we were studying this morning about the perseverance of the saints, of how even Satan can tempt your people, Christians, and that can bring not only horrible repercussions upon their own lives and great calamities, but even scandalize others. And that would be scandalizing us in the church. And so, Father, protect us from the evil one. Protect us. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Even through the power of your Holy Spirit, that the armor of God we would put on and be protected from these things. And so protect our souls and grow us today that we'd be all the more protected. Father, we ask also that you would be with those who are struggling today in their bodies. We ask that you be with Tim and his sickness that he's undergoing. I pray that you would heal him. We pray for Dina that she's still struggling in her body and continues to struggle with her long-term illness as well. Father, heal her and build her immunity to be greater as we pray for all of us that we might serve you all the better. Father, we ask that you would be with Lauren, Patricia and Larry's daughter, that you would heal her after her procedure she had, and be with Patricia, who's taking care of her. We're thankful that Patricia is willing to care for her, and bless Patricia today, who's not able to be here at worship and the Lord's Supper because she's caring for another. Father, be with Lauren, that the gospel would be heard by her and she would believe unto salvation, and she would turn from her wicked rebellion against you. And then, Father, we pray for Julie, who's having a test done at the hospital today. We ask that you would grant her good results and clarity and what's going on with her. We're thankful the Nichols were able to watch Mark and bring him to worship. And we're thankful Mark is here. And pray that you would be with him and all the other children. They would hear your word today unto salvation. Bless your servants as well. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with John McQuash. We know that he's struggling in his faith today. As Dave had visited him recently, we ask that you would turn him to yourself if he is apart from Christ. And pray, ask that you would reclaim him as well. We pray for the gardeners and that you would bring them back to repentance, to turn to see the heinous sin that they are engaged in and the blasphemies of going to Mass and the Roman Catholic Mass and where they purport to sacrifice Christ over and over and over again, and to partake of, as we're celebrating the Lord's Supper today, they believe that they're eating the physical body and the drinking the physical blood of Jesus Christ, which is a great blasphemy as well. Father, we know that Christ died once for all, one time for all of your elect, and we're thankful that he so died. And so, Father, keep us from such errors and turn the gardeners from such things. And help them to see that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that Christ in his physical body is in glory, sitting at the right hand of God. And we're thankful for him being there and interceding for us now. Now we partake, and when we do partake, we partake spiritually, proclaiming his death to each one of us until he comes again. And Father, we're thankful for this, even that your presence, your spiritual presence amongst us, not only during worship, but as we'll partake of the supper today. And Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us. We ask that you would turn us from our sins. We have broken all your commandments, the hundreds and hundreds of your commandments, all summed up in the two greatest, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. We've broken these commandments in thoughts, in our words, in our actions. Father, forgive us of those sins, and reveal them to us, even the sins we don't know about. Reveal them to us that we might turn from them and be all the more faithful unto you. We desire to be faithful. And so grant us faithfulness in Christ your Son and by your Spirit. And so we do pray that you would pour out your Spirit in power and rend and tear our hearts, that we might be strengthened again like Job here at the end of his life. We're thankful for him and the word that you've given us today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.